Welcome to October's Cybersecurity Insights, sponsored by Leidos. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
The Homeland Security Department isn't just emphasizing a common theme for the 14th annual National Cybersecurity Awareness Month. DHS is trying to ensure the message of shared responsibility is coming not only from the top, but one that every citizen, business, and agency understands. Jeanette Manfra is the Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications at DHS. She talks about why this concept of shared responsibility is more important now than ever before.
We've really evolved that message to, it's not just about a shared responsibility, it's about creating a model of what we refer to as collective defense. And that everybody has got a role in raising our defenses and making it harder for these bad actors. And we've got to work together in a way that we've probably really never done before. And so the government needs to lean further forward in how we work with the private companies, how we work with the public, how we work with our own systems. And then we're asking everybody from, you know, the individual consumer all the way up to CEOs to make cybersecurity a priority in everything that they do. Under that, we're also very focused on workforce this year. I really see the challenges around cybersecurity workforce and having a strong pipeline of qualified cybersecurity professionals that can work in the private sector, the federal government, state and local, as a real issue. And I believe it's a national security issue. So this has become one of our top priorities. And DHS has done a lot of work in workforce over the years. We have K through 12 curriculums that we do. We sponsor with NSA and the National Science Foundation, schools, universities, and have scholarship programs, but we really want to sort of level up that level of engagement across the country, get out into schools, help people understand that there are tools available to them, help teachers understand that this is a career path, that they can start driving students who might have the aptitude or the interest, partnering with the private sector, partnering with our global partners, whether that's UK or Australia or others, and really sort of making a big effort, not just in October, but, you know, kicking off a series of activities that will, what I hope, is raise a level of commitment to getting this this workforce stronger and into the various different pipelines that we all need.
Couple things there to unpack. The first is the collective responsibility, and I think that's a theme I've seen, obviously, over the last few years as well. Maybe talk a little about, from a federal perspective, how are you communicating that? How are you ensuring that the CFO types, right, the chief acquisition officers, all the way down to the CISOs and CIOs, know that this is everyone's responsibility, not just, hey, those guys or gals in the room back there that monitor the logs?
Great question. And, you know, I think the federal government has challenges much like a, you know, large corporation does in thinking about cybersecurity. Just as you said, it's not something that you can delegate to a group of technical folks that you give a closet somewhere to go figure things out and hope that if you just give them more money, they're going to solve it. It's got to be something that the head of the organization, you know, on the federal side in this case, the head of the agency is considering their cyber risk as a part of their overall mission risk. And, you know, this is a priority in the administration starting in the president's executive order from May of last year, just really honing in on this need for responsibility and accountability starting at the agency head level. And we've made a lot of progress in, you know, getting that sort of senior leadership appreciation of the risk that they face. But this requires everything from thinking about third-party risk that the government is accumulating through our procurement processes. Are those tuned to an appropriate way to be able to take cyber risk and put that into our procurement processes? All the way up to, you know, as you said, a COO or a chief risk officer or a chief financial officer being able to understand that the decisions that they're making and the policies that they're putting in place can have an impact based off of the systems that they're approving. It's also about empowering CIOs at the agency level in giving them the tools. You know, from my perspective at DHS, we're giving them the tools and the resources, whether that's through our continuous diagnostics and mitigation or through our national cyber protection system or assessments or, you know, sort of other technical assistance, but also, you know, helping them with governance and helping them, you know, it's not as if they don't take security seriously, but giving them the tools that that they need and work in partnership. So that's been our focus for the past year. We'll continue to have that focus and really emphasizing that in October, looking for specific things that we can take on as a federal government that, you know, could really make our systems leaps and bounds more secure without, you know, like I said, trying to apply a bunch of limited resources to sort of individual solutions.
So I know one of those activities is through a supply chain risk management approach that you guys are working on. I know there's a recent request for information that's out there. At the same time, that's the acquisition side. How are you working with the other side? Are you, Jeanette Manfra, or is your boss, maybe Chris Krebs, meeting with deputy secretaries, meeting with CFO types, having those conversations and reminding them that this is a shared collective responsibility?
You know, I think it's already something that we've started. It's not something that we'll start in October. I've met with multiple secretaries, deputy secretaries. We have a great partnership with you know, Margaret Weikert and Suzette Kent over in OMB, and sort of you know, taking on the IT modernization initiative and sort of pairing that with the security work that we're trying to do and helping agencies understand better where their risk actually is, which kind of gets to the, you know, making sure they have the right tools to be able to understand, you know, what does their attack surface look like, where are their vulnerabilities, where can we sort of apply these resources. Every sort of agency head is very engaged in this topic. Deputy secretaries are engaged in a way that I've honestly not seen before. I think that's happened. We'll continue to do that. You know, in October, really pushing in particular on federal workforce. I talked about kind of the national workforce, but you know, do agencies have the workforce they need? Are there additional trainings that we can provide? Can DHS, who's already funded, you know, things like the federal virtual training environment, we refer to as FedVT, training courses that we have already paid for, that's available for all federal employees. And so it's sort of, there'll be some extra kind of push along those areas, making sure that agencies know the tools that are available to them. You know, really beginning in the sort of the tasks in the executive order from last year, I think we've made tremendous progress in agency leadership, DHS and OMB, having a real sense of we understand what our risk posture is, and now we're taking actions to reduce that risk through the different tools we have available to us.
It's interesting you say that the level of engagement or level of interest from deputy secretaries is unlike what you've seen before. Without asking you to compare and contrast, but what's different? Is it the questions they're asking? Is it the meetings they're taking? What that is standing out to you when you look at that C-level executive?
You know, I would say it's a you know, higher prioritization within the agencies. You know, you see deputy secretaries requesting to participate in the, you know, sort of engagements that may have only, you know, been at a CISO level, if they had a CISO. You're seeing agencies, you know, focus on resourcing their security operations more. So everything is different. And of course, this is not to say that there were agencies they weren't taking it seriously. Many of these agencies have been taking this very seriously for a long time. But what I see is a much more concerted focus from that C-suite level and much more ability for CIOs and CISOs to have access to their leadership, to be a part of those risk management conversations, and to be in a position where they're getting more of the resources that they need, which in some agencies is often, you know, quite competitive when you're looking in, you know, in terms of shrinking budgets, et cetera. So those would be sort of some of the anecdotal type things that I'm seeing. You know, also requiring agency heads and deputies to be fully cognizant of what their risk management determinations have been, elevating the level of sign-off, if you will. Some of this is bureaucratic, but it's important for how the federal government manages its risk to ensure that accountability is there at a senior level. And I'm really seeing across the board the leadership sort of rise to the occasion.
We have to take a break. My guest is Jeanette Manfora, the Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications at DHS. I'm Jason Miller.
At Leidos, we're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and cyber expertise built for rapid response to evolving threats. As a leader in cybersecurity across the federal government, Leidos brings an unmatched understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. Our cyber experts are delivering advanced capabilities honed from protecting and defending critical assets around the world. If you're ready to bring your cyber skills to some of today's most important missions, find your next challenge with Leidos. Visit Leidos.com/careers to learn more.
Welcome back. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Jeanette Manfora, the Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications at DHS.
Well, I want to shift over to the workforce piece. You mentioned this idea of being collective, but training the workforce. And I think there's two pieces here. There's the people who do cyber work, and then there's the people who do work that happens to be have a cyber component to it. And let me maybe put a finer piece of it. The people who work in the CIO's office, the people who work in the CISO with the CISO on protecting networks and data and systems, that's doing cyber work. But then there's the average person, the program manager, I'll go back to the CFO, the CAO, that do work that includes cyber. Maybe talk a little bit about how DHS maybe is going down these two parallel paths to make sure that the training is happening. You mentioned some of the good courses that are available. Are there other things, other initiatives you're looking at, whether just obviously beyond October?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of the focus is on ensuring that people who are cybersecurity professionals in agencies have the skills that they need to do their job. But you're absolutely right. Another area of focus is, training for procurement officials, so that they have a better sense of what it means to understand the cybersecurity risk that a given vendor. Now, this is all in the construct of our existing regulations and all of that, but just training procurement officials to have that awareness, I think, is really important. Also, in really starting in the high-value asset space is ensuring that the mission owner is involved in the risk decisions and has a sense of how cyber risk can impact their mission risk. So, really even going down below CFOs and those folks, they also need to have that awareness, but really all the way down into, people who are managing a large program that's been identified as having a high-value asset is sort of working with them. You are the mission owner here and making sure that they have the skills and the resources they need to be asking the right questions and frankly, demanding more secure solutions. And we've been working on deploying some tools, whether that's, mapping their supply chain, helping them understand what that looks like, or just general kind of here's what cybersecurity actually means. if you're not in this space, it can be a bit daunting. So helping folks who may not have a background in technology understand what this means, what we're talking about, things like the NIST cyber framework, what does that mean? How do you apply that to your mission? Those sorts of things.
I always like to use National Cybersecurity Awareness Month as a kind of a state of the union, right? It's a good time to check in. So let's talk more broadly than just National Cybersecurity Awareness Month, but give me a state of federal cybersecurity. What are some of the trends you're seeing? Are things better today than they were last year? What's your overall take?
The short answer is I think we've made a tremendous amount of progress, and this is the collective we, not just DHS, but agencies. I think that everything from all the work that I just talked about, rethinking about the fact that this is risk that has to be incorporated into, overall mission decisions that are made, resource decisions that are made, but also in the deployment of tools. We've made a lot of progress in deploying our continuous diagnostics and mitigation tools. We've made progress with how we're improving the security of, what we refer to as these high-value assets. We've got now quite a bit of assessments that we've done for agencies, everything from engineering and architectural reviews to pen testing and red teaming. And so I think what I would say is my goal for the last year was in addition to actually deploying all the tools that we need to deploy and improving the technologies that we're providing and the solutions we're providing, but to really build a community between CISOs, CIOs, and us, where we are understanding what their challenges are, understanding what their risk postures are, and orienting ourselves, everything from policies and binding operational directives all the way down to the technology that we're deploying. And so I feel like we're at the point where it's not just the deployment of technologies, we're actually operationalizing what those technologies are doing and improving security as a result and reducing the risk that's identified. That's not to say that we don't have a lot more work to do and that we're going to be doing a lot more in FY19, but I think the last year we've really sort of changed the nature of how the government is sort of working together and thinking of ourselves as an enterprise, and we have enterprise risk, and we can manage that better, and we have the tools to do that.
You went through a bunch of my favorite programs, so many I want to talk about, but I'm gonna start with one that maybe you mentioned, but not by name. When you talk about the architecture reviews, one of the big new programs I think that's coming out is something that I've seen presented as GovCAR, and this is obviously Government Cyber Architecture Review. Are you able to give me a little bit of insight in terms of where you're going with that program?
Yes, and I actually, so we have two different things that are referring to architecture reviews. So we have an external assessment that we provide to largely focused on high-value assets, where we actually sit down with them and provide them an assessment of their architecture of the system and where there may be some risk that they could close or reduce through perhaps a different way of architecting the system. GovCAR is also a pretty cool thing we've done, and the concept is, if you're familiar with the MITRE ATT&CK framework, and taking that, and while we've been for years heavily engaged in understanding vulnerabilities and working to close those vulnerabilities and looking to design our systems better and those sorts of things, is what this is doing is actually looking at from the threat side. And so it's sort of taking this ATT&CK framework and applying it against the capabilities. And we started with just applying it against the capabilities that we deploy, Einstein, CDM, those sorts of things. And, doing an analysis that says, so how well do these capabilities stack up against these different, tactics, techniques, and procedures that are sort of common adversary activities. And we've iterated on it several times. It's been very useful for us to sort of look at, maybe there's a different way that we could look at deploying some technologies. Maybe there's a better return on investment by applying a technology to counter sort of a very common TTP that might be an enterprise-wide issue. But then we've also started to apply it to, looking at like a cloud deployment looking at sort of the suite of tools that we have and thinking about, and this is a goal that we're not quite there yet, but to get to the point where I've got all of my capabilities that DHS provides and then we've got it assessed against a cloud deployment, a mobile deployment, those sorts of things. And we can turn those into, here's where DHS can best apply our resources to counter these threats. Here's where it makes more sense for agencies. This is really going back to, just a little bit more definition on what defense in depth means. Here's where agencies should consider investing. Here's some best practices for how you, may take on a cloud deployment to, counter some of these activities. But it also allows me to start to look at, if you've got a common TTP, does it make more sense for me to deploy a technology, or is there a policy that change that we could put in place that would counter that? Or is there an operational process that we could adjust that would counter that? So I think it's, and we'll still, you know, that's a threat-based look. We still need to continue to look at it from the vulnerabilities and consequences, but kind of marry all of those up as a good way to assess how do we best deploy our various different resources and tools between, again, DHS agencies and OMB to have a more targeted impact against these known activities.
We have to take a break. My guest is Jeanette Manfora, the Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications at DHS. I'm Jason Miller.
At Leidos, we're advancing global missions with agile, innovative IT and cyber expertise built for rapid response to evolving threats. As a leader in cybersecurity across the federal government, Leidos brings an unmatched understanding of the defense sector's most complex challenges. Our cyber experts are delivering advanced capabilities honed from protecting and defending critical assets around the world. If you're ready to bring your cyber skills to some of today's most important missions, find your next challenge with Leidos. Visit Leidos.com/careers to learn more.
Welcome back. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Jeanette Manfora, the Assistant Secretary for Cybersecurity and Communications at DHS.
It almost sounds like the GovCAR approach was used, for instance, with some of the binding operational directives. Let's take Kaspersky, and I know there's some sensitivities because there's an ongoing lawsuit, but is that kind of the approach you're using? Is, okay, what's the best way to deal with, and let's just use a vendor X's supply, right, of software or hardware. How would you address that? Well, we could... you know, put this patch in there, or we could come up with a binding operational directive, or we could do it opens up the aperture, if you will, yeah, of all the different potential steps you could take.
Right. No, I think that's an absolutely fair characterization. You know, you can absolutely make it generic, because oftentimes people sort of get locked into a specific tool, and you know, then what is it, every if you have a hammer, every problem's a nail, or something like that. We need to have a broader look. We now have, after legislation's been passed, a variety of different things over the past few years, we actually have quite a suite of tools available to us, and as do agencies. And so that's exactly it, is sort of looking at, here's the problem. What's the best way to address it, whether that's technical, operational, or policy?
I know it's just getting started. Do you expect the assessments in 2019 to begin for other agencies, or are you still focused on the DHS side? Where are you at with that initiative?
Yeah, we've completed most of the internal DHS assessments, and then, the idea is to start to work with other agencies in the future. We are looking, in particularly as we're thinking about all the IT modernization work and trying to sort of shift the way the government sort of thinks about its IT, its overall IT governance and management, procurement, et cetera. And so we're in this space right now, what we're really looking at is models, and you know, saying here's what a cloud deployment may look like. Not assessing a specific instance of it, but here's what a typical cloud deployment would look like for you know, this typical type of system. Assess that, and then that could lead into some best practices. But yeah, there are some agencies that I'm sure would be interested. And as we iterate, you know, we're doing these in sort of spins. We learn more, it gets faster, it gets better every time, and so I think we'll definitely be getting to the point of being able to provide this to agencies as well.
Jeanette, this has just been a wonderful conversation. There's so much more to talk to, but I think we're out of time for today. So let me thank my guest, Jeanette Manfora, the Assistant Secretary in the Office of Cybersecurity and Communications and the Homeland Security Department's National Protection and Programs Directorate. Jeanette, once again, thank you guys for so much for taking the time and during this National Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Thank you.
I'm Jason Miller.
Thank you for listening to this week's Cybersecurity Insight Show, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsnetwork.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsnetwork.com. Search Cybersecurity.